This is Telling Tales with Ms. G, and believe me or not, I am not tongue-tied. I hope that you all have been enjoying your week, your holiday, everything that has gone on the last two Tuesdays. I have not been around enjoying visitors. So, but that means that I also had time to research a wonderful story to bring you tonight. And I've got one from Norma Fox Mazur. So, come right back, and I'll have a great story for you here at KTO 104.3, Juneau, Alaska, Telling Tales with Ms. G. Hello, this is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Telling Tales here at KTO 104.3 in Juneau. Tonight's story is called Meeting the Mugger by Norma Fox Mazur. This is one of the authors who's been known as a censored writer. She's been censored and her work has not been allowed to be read. So, fighting censorship, I really wanted to read the story for you. Hope you enjoy it. Meeting the Mugger by Norma Fox Mazur. 1. The Argument. For as long as I could remember, my mother had been giving me advice and telling me things about life so that I wouldn't, as she said, make the same mistake she had. I want you to have a better time of it than I did, by which she meant a life that was not so difficult, so short on money, and so long on work. Life is like a river, sweetie pie, she said. There are times when it's raging and all you can do is hang on, and times when it's calm and you float in it and let it take you along and you feel the sun on your face, and those are the times you treasure. That's what I do anyway, or try to. Are you listening, Sarah Beth? No, I wasn't really. Lately, I had felt impatient with her and her advice, so sometimes I took it and sometimes I didn't. I can see now that she gave me good advice, but more than that, I can see that with everything she said, she was trying to protect me from something else, something bigger, something she didn't even want to name. She couldn't take advice herself, though. Maybe too much had happened to her, and she thought no one could tell her anything she didn't already know. She wouldn't listen to me, certainly. I have to say, that wasn't the reason I ran out of the house that night. But now it seems to figure in my thinking. I believe it added to my impatience with her and was one step, at least, in what happened. The short version of that night, Mom and I were having an argument. Leo came over and put in his 2 cents. He was saying this, Mom was saying that. They were both on me, and I walked out. Now, the long version. Mom and I were, or maybe we weren't, having an argument. It wasn't a big yelling thing. We were at the kitchen table. She was folding laundry and I was doing homework. Tobias was purring in my lap. Suddenly, Mom stood up, pulled down her jeans, and showed me a spot on her thigh that looked like a huge mossy freckle. "What do you think of that?" she asked. "What is it?" "Some weird skin thing, probably from getting my hands in all those nasty cleaning chemicals." "That's not your hands. Are you going to see a doctor?" "Forget it. I have to work 2 days to make enough money for an office visit, which will only come to nothing anyway." "How do you know that?" I said. "Oh, I know." She showed me a hard lump on her forefinger. "See that? What is it?" She didn't wait for an answer. Calcium deposit. I read about it in a magazine. Did I have to pay a doctor to tell me that? Then, slick as could be, she changed the subject. You're almost 15. Can you believe it? I'm 14, Mom. My birthday isn't for 8 months. I was that age when I got pregnant with you. You weren't 14, Mom. 15. I was 15, 16 when I had you. I petted Tobias. I knew the whole story. I could recite it with her, all the phrases, all the warnings. Way too young to have sex or a baby, I whispered into Tobias's ear. Way too young to have sex or a baby. I was crazy for your father. Loved him, but it wasn't enough. Like that song says, what's love got to do with anything? The fact that we got married, I used to think that made it all perfect and right. Are you listening? Yes. You got the lyric wrong. If he hadn't been killed in that stupid, stupid accident. I know. I want to emphasize to you that to have sex so young is really and truly crazy. I know. It's not just about babies anymore. It's not just about, will he marry you or do you have to consider an abortion? It's about your life, your actual life. AIDS. Mom, I know. I looked down at Tobias. He was like a big white and orange pillow in my lap. Call me out of date, whatever, but I want you to take everything slowly. Boys, dating. Why don't you trust me? You worry all the time that I'm going to do something wrong. I have good sense. You've been telling me the same stuff for years. I'm not dumb. I get it. She slapped a sheet down on the pile of laundry. You've changed. I don't know when it happened. We used to have such good talks. I could say anything to you. Is something bothering you? No. Even if it was, like my flat chest and no boy interested, I wouldn't talk about it to her, because she'd just grimace or laugh. Is that all? If that's the worst problem you ever have in your life, count yourself lucky. You're a teenager now, and what with hormones and peer pressure? Oh, stop! Don't talk to me like that. It makes me want to vomit. You sound like a TV show. I was yelling. Tobias slipped off my lap and hid under a chair. I'm tired of hearing about boys and sex and hormones. That was the line Leo came in on. Actually, Leo and Pepper. Leo with his bold legs, his big handsome head, his big shout. Here's Leo, folks. As if there should be an instant celebration. Leo, baby, Mom said. Then she saw Pepper. This is my friend, Pepper Rudman, Leo said. Pepper's fingers were covered with silver rings. She was wearing a long, loose skirt under a black vest and jacket. She was somebody you would look at a second time. Mom glanced down at herself. Jeans, sneakers, a plaid shirt. Pepper smiled at me. I turned a page in my algebra book and acted as if I were working out a tough problem. Maybe so. I scribbled Leo plus Pepper equals X. He was Mom's boyfriend. He got milk from the refrigerator and poured himself a glass. We all watched. You guys busy or what? He said to Mom. In the mood for company? Not busy, Mom said. Just having a little argument with my teenage daughter. They all laughed. I hated their laughter. Hated that Mom talked in that we grown-ups know about kids voice. Leo squeezed Mom's arm. You too. As if we were this little old comedy team. Don't let this girl of yours put anything over on you, Janie. Be quiet, Leo, I said. Sarah Beth's mad, Leo said. Uh-oh, watch out. I'm not mad, Leo. You are. You're mad. She's mad, Pepper. Pepper smiled in a certain way, as if she was thinking her own thoughts about us, about me and Mom. I closed my notebook. I am not mad. I didn't know who I was talking to. Pepper, Mom, or Leo. I kept my voice even. Why don't you go away now and come back some other time, Leo? He smirked at me with his upper lip pulled back. You're growing up and getting quite the temper, aren't you? Sometimes she gets mad the moment I open my mouth, Mom said. Uh-huh, Leo said knowingly. Pepper smiled again in that secret way. Suddenly, I went from being rational to crazy. I shouted, I can't stand this. I slammed my algebra book shut Tobias jumped back in my lap and bit my hair, trying to comfort me. I dumped him, grabbed my jacket, and ran out. Number two, the mugger. I stood at the edge of the highway. It was dark and raining. Cars streamed past, their lights slanting into the wet air. In a lull, I ran across. On the other side, I walked through a field and onto the road around the quarry, and then I kept on walking. I ended up in the city and the rain in a neighborhood I didn't know. These were all things Mom would have said showed a lack of thought, and she would have been right. As soon as I heard the footsteps behind me, I knew I was in trouble, and it was her name that came to my lips. "Mom," I whispered. It was Saturday night, and the street was empty of people and cars. There were a few stores with shuttered windows, some old boarded-up warehouses. A dog prowling behind a wire fence growled and laid back his ears. He resembled a coyote, that lean, skinny frame. I walked faster. The dog kept pace with me, rumbling in his throat. Behind me, the footsteps grew closer. I prayed to see someone else, anyone. It could be an old guy who could hardly totter, but I'd be so glad. I'd kiss him 100 times. Ahead at the corner, there was a street lamp. Rain fell straight down under the light. If I turned there, maybe I'd see a house, lights, cars, people. The thought of it sent me into a run. The footsteps came after me, panting. I glanced back. A guy in a hooded jacket, the hood half off, a lot of hair. The face impressed itself on me, eyes almost blank in their intensity. I should never have looked. It slowed me down. He caught me and grabbed the back of my jacket. "Give it to me," he said. Only it wasn't he. It was a girl, and for a moment I was relieved. "I don't have any money." I pulled out my pockets to show her I was telling the truth. "Give it to me." She had a tight, mean voice. She yanked at my sleeve. "Give me the jacket." "This?" I almost laughed. I fumbled with the zipper. Would she still want it if I told her that Mom had bought it at a thrift shop? "Look at this, Sarah Beth. I scored." Mom had been thrilled. A designer name, perfect condition, half a dozen pockets and zippers. "Hurry up." She had something in her hand. A knife, or maybe a razor. She motioned for me to drop the jacket on the sidewalk. I did. Light from the street lamp glanced off the knife. I noticed this. I noticed that I was noticing it and other things, too, like how the lumps of her breast were pushing out her sweatshirt. She wasn't flat-chested like me. I felt weirdly proud of this observation, reasoning that this proved how calm I was. "Turn around." She shoved me into a wall. The bricks were wet and smelled burned. "You stay there," she said in that mean, wound-up voice. "Okay," I said. Or maybe I didn't say it because she yelled, "Did you hear what I said? You stay there." "Oh, okay." "You stay there or I'll come back and get you." She sounded tired. Something pressed into my back, slid hard down my spine. "You gonna stay there?" "Yes, you better, and I mean it." I stood with my face in the bricks. I heard her moving away. I wanted to turn around, but I was afraid she was tricking me. My legs felt strange, weak, like the legs of someone old. When I finally turned, she was gone and the street was empty again. 3. The waiting for me party. Mom greeted me out the door. "Where the hell were you?" I was soaked, shivering. I grabbed a sweater from the hook by the door and threw it over my shoulders. All the way home, running, I had been talking to Mom, telling her about the mugging, the girl, the knife, telling her everything. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. But now, I said nothing. Over her shoulder, I saw Leo and Pepper, Mrs. Prang from number 6 across the way, and old Mr. Zimbarska from number 18. Whenever Mr. Zimbarska saw me around the trailer park, he would say, "You gonna be my sweetheart?" Like I was 4 instead of 14. They were all crowded around the table. The cloth was littered with cake crumbs and napkins. It looked as if they'd been having a party, a waiting for Sarah Beth party. I took off my sneakers and socks. I dried my feet with a dish towel, and they all watched as if I was the party's featured attraction. "Watch Sarah Beth bend over. See her dry her feet. Look at those smart toes." "Do you know what time it is?" my mother said. "You've been gone over 3 hours." "How could you do that to your mother?" Mrs. Prang said. She had glittery black hair, a glittery white smile. Like Mom, she had one daughter, but Melissa was older than me and lived in Aberdeen, Texas. "Could you say something?"
Leal said. Sarah Beth, at least apologize to your mother. Your poor mother, Mrs. Prank said. She was so worried. I thought you were one of the good ones. I thought better of you. Mama's worry, Mr. Simbarska agreed. Was he consoling me or scolding me? Only Pepper didn't say anything. Her head went left, right, left, right. You walked out, Mom said. You just walked out. Bang, you were gone. Her face had that squinty look it got when she was totally fried. What were you thinking of, Miss Sarah Beth? I was ready to call the police. I sat down. My eyes hurt from the light. It seemed as if even the walls were glaring at me. I stared at the tablecloth. There was a tea stain on the edge, the same shape as New York State. I picked up where we lived, right in the center. Sarah Beth, Leal's voice boomed. Answer your mother, for crying out loud. You can't just sit there like a lump. Speak, he ordered. You've got to get responsible. He's right, Mrs. Prang wagged her finger at me. The man is absolutely right. Right, 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 Mr. Sabarsky agreed. It was like a madhouse, and then it got worse. Mr. Zimbarska broke into song. Make up, he sang. You and your mother must make up. Pepper giggled, the first sound out of her. You like my song. You make me happy, he sang. You are my sunny sunshine when skies are gray, my sunny sunshine every day. I sank lower in the chair and eyed the piece of cake that was left on his plate. I was hungry. Famished, actually. Why are you such a mess, Sarah Beth? Leal said. Did you fall down or something? Your face is all scratched up. Mama leaned toward me as if she were only really seeing me now. Where's your jacket? She said. Didn't you go out with your jacket? And your face. Leal's right. What happened to your face? I still didn't speak. I couldn't. I stepped over Leal's feet and went into my room. Number four, talking to Leal. I heard the kitchen door opening, the creaky noise it made. I heard their voices like a big rush of water. Good night. Good night. Thanks for coming over. That was Mom. Good night, darling, Mrs. Prang. Mr. Zimbarski still singing. Pepper murmuring. Leal laughing a snort like a donkey. I hadn't apologized to Mom, like he said I should, but I hadn't stepped on his feet, either. Too bad. He had spoken to me as if I were his dog. Speak, Sarah Beth. Speak, Leal. Who is this Pepper Rudman? I thought you were Mom's boyfriend. You sure are a disloyal type. I reached around and touched my back. My shirt was torn and sticky. My skin burned under my fingers. Tobias, I called. Where was he? I wanted him a lot just then, or maybe I wanted something else. Maybe I just wanted to cry. I looked out the window. Leal and Pepper were walking toward his car. Leal, I yelled suddenly. Leal, come over here. Is that you, Sarah Beth? He came to the window. Leal. I didn't know what I was going to say. Do you like that jacket you're wearing? It was black with slanted pockets. Sure, he said. It's okay. Yes or no, Leal, do you like it or don't you? He showed it his eyes. What does it matter? It's just an old jacket. It matters, Leal. Everything matters. My voice quivered. Hey, you're right. You feeling better? I'm fine. So go tell Jane where you were. It'll be okay. Don't worry. I never worry. What a lie. Who is Pepper Rudman, anyway? A friend. She teaches at community college. What happened to you tonight? Where'd you go? Were you hanging around here the whole time just getting your mother worked up? Did he really think I'd pull a stunt like that? Goodbye, Leo. I shut the window in his face. Sarah Beth, hey. I yanked down the shade. It made that ripping sound that meant the spring it unwound. Number five, Mom and me. Mom brought me a tuna sandwich, lots of mayo, the way I liked it. She sat in the rocker and watched me eat. So what's going on? She said finally. I licked mayo off my fingers. Are you getting sick, Mom? Her skin was sort of greenish looking. Never mind me. Just tell me what happened to you tonight. It was stupid. I looked up at the ceiling. Don't freak, okay? I was walking on the street and a girl with a knife? I didn't know she had it until she grabbed me. She took my jacket and I think she did something to my back. I turned to show her. She cut you, Mom said. Oh my God, she cut you. She ran out. I was glad I couldn't see the cut. I hate being cut. Even a little paper cut, the kind you get when you slide your finger over the edge of a sheet of paper, affects me. As if that tiny break in the skin reveals too much how fragile a bearer of skin is, how the life beneath it, blood and bones, can be reached so easily, and how effortlessly anyone can be separated from life. Is it bad? I asked when Mom came back. Your shirt is history. She was smoothing on some kind of first aid cream. She wrapped me in a blanket and sat down next to me. I didn't feel anything when she did it, I said. I was so calm, Mom. I could have started a conversation with her, asked her where she went to school, why she had to do this. That little bit. Oh, I'd like to get my hands on her. She was scared, Mom. I think she was more scared in a way than I was. You can feel sorry for her, but I don't. I sure don't. She cut you. She could have really hurt you. Mom put her arms around me, and I let myself lean in against her, let myself go heavy as if she were still my big mommy, instead of our being the same size now. It was sweet. It was heavenly. For the first time in hours, I felt okay. We sat there like that for a long time, and it was the way it used to be. The two of us, close. So close. As close as if we were a single organism. As if we had come from the same source and could never be torn apart. I was mugged, I said. Mugged and cut. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. I started to cry. Shh, baby. Mom said, honey, baby, sweetie pie. She rocked me and held me tighter. Number 6, the morning as usual. I made myself a cup of coffee milk and sat down. Is that all you're eating for breakfast? Mom said. I'm not hungry. You need food to have your brains work right. My brains work okay. It was the same conversation we had every morning. I could hardly believe it. You only had a B in math last term. She put half a grapefruit in front of me. Is that a lump on your forehead? She took my chin in her hands. Did that girl do that too? I nodded and touched the lump gingerly. It had popped out overnight. We're a pair, Mom said. You with your lump, me with mine. She got an ice pack from the freezer and gave it to me. That should take the swelling down. Mom, what about you and Leo? Is he dumping you? Thanks, Sarah Beth. That's a really nice way to put it. Is he? She shrugged. I don't know. I guess. Yeah, I guess he is. Big news, huh? I pressed the ice pack against my forehead. I hate him. Look, it happens. You can't go nuts about things you can't control. Maybe, I said. I put on my sweater and slung my backpack over my shoulder. Is that all you're wearing? She said. It's cold outside. I don't have a jacket, remember? I said. She wanted me to take hers. I said no. She insisted. I said no again. If one of us is going to be cold, it can be me, I said. I'm younger and stronger. That made her mad, and we almost got into an argument again. I'll take it, I said, if you go to a doctor about that freckle thing on your leg. She nodded. She must have been more worried about it than she let on. You'll make an appointment today, I said, and she nodded again. I put on her jacket, and we went out the door together. The rain had stopped during the night, but the ground was still wet. The trees were all black. She gave me a kiss. Plant me one here, she said, touching her cheek. It was like any normal day, except my back was stiff and a little sore. I walked to the bus stop, and when she drove past, she honked the horn. Number 7, hugged. I told all my friends about the mugging. They gathered around me. They touched my back. They wanted to see the cut. Oh, they moaned, and they hugged me and made me tell the story again. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me, I said. I must have said it half a dozen times that day. It was such a dramatic thing to say, but I meant it too. It felt true. The worst thing, not losing my jacket, not even being cut, but being helpless at the mercy of someone else. There was no way I could know that within weeks, everything would change. I would think about the mugging quite differently, and in fact, I would hardly remember it. What I would remember would be Mom and me sitting on the bed together, holding each other. Number 8, mugged. They did a biopsy on the freckle on Mom's thigh. It was benign, but the doctor noticed that her spleen was swollen, and he did some tests, and then some more tests, and then he put her into the hospital for exploratory surgery. When they opened her up, they told me they found cancer everywhere. I live with Leo and Pepper now. They're good to me. I try not to think too much about Mom and the trailer and our life there. I notice that it makes people unhappy to see you unhappy, and they want to fix you up and tell you that everything will be all right. I can usually keep myself steady by listening to Mom. She's still giving me advice. Sweetie pie, don't take it personally. One way or another, eventually we're all mugged by life. That was what she didn't want to say. She'd known it all along, but she didn't want me to know it. Not yet. Not this soon. She just wanted me to know enough so I'd be safe. I remember how she said life was like a river. You get pitched into it, and you don't get to choose where, deep waters or shallow, fast or calm. She didn't want me to sink in that river. She, herself, swam all the time, until she couldn't anymore. She swam as hard as she could. She threw her arms around and kicked and kept her chin above water. And I expect I will too. That was Meeting the Mugger by Norma Fox Mazur. I hope you enjoyed that story. This has been Telling Tales with Ms. G here at KTOO 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. Until next time, good night.